All right, Fritz Berger, bloodandfaith.com. It's Wednesday, 27 March 2024. Yesterday, I did a podcast, or a couple of days, a brief podcast on Josiah, a king, a young king, and he did a lot of reforms. He did a lot of reforms in the land of Judah, the southern two tribes, and he tore down the places of Baal. He got rid of a lot of the official depravity of their country. He resurrected the worship of the God of the patriarchs. He found the law. He had the law. He made the people agree to serve the Lord again. And then he inquires of God. He goes to God. He said, Lord, and then again, this is goes back to the other day. He goes to the prophetess and he says, hey, what's going on? Notice how in a declining culture you have the females that tend to occupy these high offices. And he seeks the Lord. He says, "What, you know, we need some guidance. We need some direction here. We're doing everything we can to reform and do what we need to do." And he goes to the prophetess, and the prophetess responds. It says, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent me, thus says the Lord. Behold, I am bringing evil on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the curses written in the book which you've been read in the presence of the king of Judah." So Josiah, a good king, a righteous king, a king that served God, forced reform upon the country, took away the high places, took away the Baals, took away the Asherah, got rid of a lot of the cultural depravity, forced the people to listen to the Word of God, read the Word of God, return to the Word of God, and he asked God, okay, are we okay now? He turns to the prophetess. The prophetess says, behold, I'm bringing evil on this land and on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the curses written in the book which they have read in the presence of the king of Judah. They read the curses out of the book. It refers to Deuteronomy 28. We're going to get there in a minute. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be poured out on this place and it shall not be quenched. So there's the answer. Now, he goes on saying, you know, because you've been a good king, Josiah, you know, I'll let you, I'll give you personally a pass. But I'm going to destroy this country. Now, what does he mean by destroying the country? What is this curse? What is the curse out of the law? Deuteronomy 28. What is Deuteronomy 28 based on? Deuteronomy 28 is based upon the Ten Commandments. If a country, as a nation, as a whole, as a society, as a whole, obeys the Ten Commandments, they will be blessed over time in history. The Ten Commandments are not a personal moral code. They're a moral code for the entire society. It's not just the moral code. It's the legal code. But if a country turns away, and I'm not going to read it all to you, Deuteronomy 28, here's a few things. You'll grope at noon as a blind man gropes in the darkness. You will not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. Is that not the condition of America today? You'll betroth a wife, but another man will violate her. You shall build a house, but you will not live in it. You'll plant a vineyard, but you will not use its fruit. Is that not the condition of America today? Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people. While your eyes look on and yearn for them continually, there will be nothing you can do. Are we not being invaded today? A people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground and all your labors, and you will never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually. Is that not the condition we are under today? You shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. Is that not the condition of the country today? Josiah was a king of our country in a period of really revival and reformation to return to the God of their ancestors. And the word from the Lord, the word from the Almighty was like, look, I'm going to destroy your country. Sorry, not sorry. You've abandoned me. Your fathers and your ancestors have turned away from me. I'm going to destroy this country. Maybe not in your lifetime, but I'm going to destroy this nation. And the United States is in the process of being destroyed. We're in the process of being destroyed. There's nothing you can do to ward this off. Even a Josiah coming along and doing some reform will not ward off the destruction of this nation. There's never been a nation as great and wonderful and power and godly and Christian as the United States of America. And we've utterly forsaken the Lord our God. And the churches have too. The churches are part and parcel of the problem. It's not like the churches are being all righteous and saying, well, we're going to serve God no matter what. No, they've like, you know what, we're going to surrender and back off and back off and back off and back off in order to please our enemies. Because the Christian churches literally have more respect and honor for Satan and his children than they do for the words of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you. The churches in this land literally have more respect for the devil's babies and Satan's synagogue and the Antichrist that rules amongst us than they do for the words of Jesus Christ. This country is in the process of being destroyed, and there's nothing that you can do or that I can do or that we can do to change this. We are being destroyed. This is happening now. Oh, I hope for reform. I hope for resurrection. I hope for revival. But this country is in the process of being destroyed. How can you not see it? We're being invaded. Nobody has enough to make ends meet. Our wives are being taken in front of us. Divorce. The kids are lost or being preyed upon in our public schools. And we're being driven mad by what our eyes see. Now, is there anything we can do about this? Big picture. Look, big picture. We have a responsibility to our God, to our ancestors, and to our offspring. To build godly nations, to serve Jesus Christ as a society. Christianity is not a personal religion. Christianity is not a personal religion. Christianity is not a personal religion. It's loyalty as a race and a society to our King, our monarch, Jesus, the Christ of God, the Messiah of God. Our job has never been to dumb down our allegiance to Jesus Christ in order to please the Antichrist. But that's what the church has done. It's exactly what the church has done. And for this, we are currently being destroyed. Nothing will change that. Doesn't mean you shouldn't lift up your voice and cry aloud. Doesn't mean you shouldn't get involved. Doesn't mean you should not call out the evils. No, we must do all those things. Do I hope for a great revival? Oh, of course I do. Do I hope for men in political office that can make changes? Oh, of course I do. Will I vote for them? Of course I will. I'm telling you what, though. We're in deeper than most people think. And you've got a good portion of the nation that want nothing more than the destruction of the white and Christian race. And for that, there's no excuse. And you've got the Christian churches that don't want to be involved in that conversation. They bend the knee, they bow the knee, and they accede to the demands of the Antichrist. And literally the church, I don't care how Protestant you are, I don't care how Christian you are, there's something deeply, deeply wrong with this church, and we're ashamed of Jesus Christ. We don't want to build Christian countries. We've got so many pastors coming out saying we're against Christian nationalism. We don't want to build Christian countries. We want Christianity to be a personal religion where it doesn't bother anybody. We can all exist in harmony. That's never been the idea from the very beginning, since God called the Egyptians to release the Hebrews. Moses said, you let my people go. We're going to go and we're going to serve God as a nation, as a society, as a country, as a race, and our laws of the Ten Commandments, which have never gone away. First sermon Jesus Christ ever had, Sermon on the Mount, first sermon, Matthew chapter 5. He said, don't you ever, ever, ever say that the law has gone away. Anybody who teaches that the law has gone away will be the very least in the kingdom of heaven. But if you teach it, you'll be great in the kingdom of heaven. Ten Commandments are as applicable today as they were when Moses came off the mountain, and they're for the whole society. It's not a personal moral code. And the first commandment points to Jesus Christ. So yeah, do I want revival? Yes. But is that going to prevent the destruction of this country? No, it's not. We're living through it now. All right, final word. I did a quick podcast this morning on the bridge to Crimea, or the bridge to Baltimore, depending on how you want to look at it. Somehow, some way, the bridge over the Baltimore Harbor was utterly destroyed. That is more than an act of random time and chance. Funny how the FBI comes out right away and says, oh, this wasn't terrorism. Okay, fine. I'm glad you've done a thorough investigation and can rule that out immediately, 6 hours after the event happened. What did you know about this before it happened then, if you can rule it out? Who did this? And I'll give you two or three choices. Was it the Russians who did this in response to the destruction of their bridge to Crimea? Was this forces in the United States that did this in order to pretend that the Russians did it in order to justify a response to Crimea? Was it a foreign intelligence operation that did it in order to implicate the Russians for something that they didn't do in order to justify an increase in the war against Russia? Was it foreign influences within the American government, within our own intelligence agencies, that did this in order to pursue and expand their war against the Russians to make it look like the Russians did it? Very much like 9/11 could have been an operation by foreign entities, perhaps with influence in American agencies, to justify whole-scale war in the Middle East by the United States. it's a palace of mirrors. It's a puzzle palace. And we can't know what it is. You know why we can't know what it is? Because we believe lies every day. The church believes lies every day. We don't read the Word of God, so we can't discern what a lie is. We don't read the Word of God, so we can't discern what a lie is. And we go, we think we're smart, but because we ignore as a culture in the church, we ignore what the Holy Scriptures say about certain things, and then we can't discern a lie. When the Holy Scriptures say the Jews are literally, first of all, they're not even real Jews. They're liars. They're liars. They're not the biologics of Israel. They're not. Have not been for 2,000 years. Many foreign nations began converting to Judaism in the book of Esther. But Jesus says they're the synagogue of Satan. Paul said they're hostile to all men. But we don't want to see that. So how are we going to discern truth from a lie if we ignore what the Holy Scriptures teach us? So we're in the process of the destruction of America. And at the end of the day, of course, the synagogue of Satan is going to be involved in this. Of course the children of the devil are going to be involved in this. Were we not warned, but we can't see what's right in front of our faces. Can't see what's in front of our faces. FritzBergen, bloodandfaith.com.